Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He went on to say, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally comes and strikes me.' And the Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The Gospel of the Lord. Before I begin the homiletic reflection, I'd like to acknowledge some two very special guests we have here at this Mass. My brother Hugh and his wife Leslie are visiting from Ireland, so welcome. My elder brother taught me a lot in my maturing years. So whatever good you see, somehow it was inspired by him. Let me look at this gospel reading. It comes from the book of Luke, and it's found only in the gospel of Luke. No parallel for this parable is found in the other three gospels. It has to do with prayer. Jesus said, "Pray constantly." So let me talk about prayer here for a few moments. I read this last Sunday. I read the gospel a week in advance. And by the way, a news bulletin. Father Dennis is arriving on Tuesday, and he will be doing the 9:30 next Sunday. So that's wonderful. We all love Father Dennis. Well, I read this gospel last Sunday, and I thought about it throughout the week. And I shaped my thoughts last night and early this morning. It speaks about prayer. And it challenged me to look at my own life and to reflect on the presence or diminished presence of prayer in my life. So I'd like to talk a little bit about prayer. All spiritual directors, especially for priests, the first question they will ask is, "How is your prayer life?" The caution is that we do all the good deeds we do, and we cover all the bases, and we fulfill all the tasks, and then what's left over goes to prayer. That's a fairly typical lifestyle of priests. I mean, unless you cultivate some sense of prayer and some depth, I don't mean saying the rosary. I say the rosary in the car. I mean some deep sense of prayer, some food for the soul. There is, I believe, some truth to the fact that people tend to pray more and more fervently in a time of crisis or in difficult times. I've visited hospitals for years of people in crisis, maybe close to death, and the family will say, "This person hates the church, hostile to the church. Would you come and see if we could give them a blessing or say a prayer before he dies?" "Sure." Well, after I have visited a little bit, I never ask the person, "Would you like me to give you a blessing or to say a prayer?" Because they might say no. So I say, "Would I offend you if I gave you a blessing?" "Well, you wouldn't offend me, you know, because I'm able to give them a blessing or say a prayer with them." And somehow it makes a difference in a time of crisis. So let me talk about prayer which visits us more frequently in times of darkness or times of crisis. A precondition for prayer, for genuine prayer, must be a sense of prayerfulness. Prayerfulness being a condition where you're conscious, you're an awareness of God's presence in your life. How the weaving of God moves you, and how whatever you're experiencing in life somehow is part of divine providence, is part of the shaping of your life. This prayerfulness, it's a disposition of openness. Prayer is the child of faith. And faith is the ability to look at things, to look at all of creation, to look at the rising sun, the setting sun, look at all the people you meet and find some sense of God revealing and goodness of God is present. That's prayerfulness. And that's a precondition for any prayer. Now, prayer is not something you do. Prayer is not something you perform. It's not an obligation you fulfill. Prayer is something that you allow. You allow prayer to happen in your life. In order to allow prayer to happen in your life, you must have a condition, an environment, a place, a quiet place, a place of silence, a place where you look at yourself in truth, not your mask, a place where radical self-examination happens. That's the condition of prayerfulness. I have learned more about prayer, about myself, and about the presence of God in my weakness, in times of darkness, in sin, in struggle in my life. I have learned about a God of love. I have learned about a God of forgiveness. I have learned that I must accept myself in the same manner that this wonderful God of love accepts me. In my humanity, in my failure, God is present to me. God is always present. Get this sense of the presence of God. But of course, we live in a noisy, engaging society. We have very little hospitality for silence. And so now and then we'll say, I need to go on a retreat. I need to get away. Somehow there's a poverty inside of me. I need to go away. Some years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, when I retired, kind of, 4 or 5 years ago, I decided that one of the things I'd like to do would be to get young couples in our parish who are married between 5 and 15 or 20 years. These are difficult times. They have children, and this is a super mom, and that's a super dad, but the two of them don't kind of come together as much with the same sensitivity and the same care for one another. Super dad, super mom, but not super husband and wife. You know, I used to have her picture on my desk, but now that's moved over and I've got the child. I used to have a picture in the wallet. I'd show you a picture of my beautiful wife. Now I show you a picture of my child. So these are years where I thought it would be good to have retreats. Well, I searched the whole diocese with all our retreat houses, couldn't find any retreat house available on a weekend. Why? Because we're searching for food for the soul. It touches every one of us at some time where we get this emptiness, this certain poverty, this boredom in life, the sense of it's just another day. It's not a new day. It's just another day. And yet, in God's presence, it's not just another day. It's the gift of a new day. When I was coming over early this morning, there was a little mist. And I said, thank you, God, for the little mist. God was telling me, God is in charge, not us. We're going to get rain, but in God's time. Okay. I had a good friend of mine, a priest in our prayer group, and he went to a new parish, and he was all excited, and he's an achiever, and he's just one of these go-getting, fabulous good priests. And he was frustrated after a while because the parish wasn't coming to life the way he wanted it. He's one of these impatient, hyper-energy fellows. And a young couple in parish gave him a plant, a small plant. And they had a little tag on it. It said, "This will grow, but only in God's time." Can't drag it up. Simone Weil, an extraordinary woman, died in 1943. She was 36 years old, and if you read her life, you'll find out that she was kind of a very radical person. Well, eventually she goes to Assisi, and she goes through this huge transformation, had never prayed before, and she goes through a huge conversion at Assisi, where Francis had his conversion in the Porziuncola, in the chapel there, which is still preserved there. And she goes on to write this way. She said, "The danger is not lest the soul should think there is no bread, but rather that by a lie the soul should be convinced that it is not hungry." The world will convince you you're not hungry. Your spirit isn't satiated. And so they'll feed you with money, distractions, pleasures, all sorts of activity, and yet it will not feed your soul. And someday, a day of grace, many a day of revelation, you will find that you're on empty, that your life is superficial. There's a certain loneliness in your spirit. And all the things that you were clinging to fail you. And at that point, you're dealing with the soul which has not been fed. And someday, you may end up with a certain loneliness in your spirit. I know you're surrounded by people, but there's a visitation of poverty or something in your life. And it's the hunger of the soul. It's the hunger of the soul. That's what we're speaking about when we talk about prayer. So we have to find some place in the economy of our lives to say, this is a zone of silence. It's a place of quiet. And here, my spirit will be fed. My soul will be nurtured. And now I can go out and look at the world with new eyes, with the eyes of faith. Think about that. You know, you get up in the morning, you have a clock radio, you get in your car and there's more noise and people on the freeway are insane and they're cutting you off. And you know, I've been in the rosary in the car and somebody cut me off. Out those rosary, Jesus, you know. We live in this insane world. And the Spirit calls us, and the Word of God today calls us to say, slow down. Slow down. Seek out a place of quiet where the Spirit will grow in you and you will feel a genuine, genuine peace in your soul. Amen.